Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
If you have your Bible, turn with me today to Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 14. Anybody feel the presence of the Lord in this place? My goodness. Man, I'm thankful this is not a dead church because I can't be preaching funerals. I'm sorry. I'm not into that. Thank you, Lord. I mean, you get it. Not a dead church. I want to pray over you right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence. Thank you that you are alive, you are well, you are risen. And thank you, Lord, that your love for us is absolutely perfect, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't wait for us to get our life together before you deemed us worthy. You gave yourself as a ransom for many while we were yet broken. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people this morning. I pray that you would activate the gifts within your body. I pray that dormant potential would come to life today. I pray that we would take our place in your kingdom, and Lord, that you would be glorified greatly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Today's going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. I'm going to preach an abbreviated sermon. I know you think that's a joke, but I'm really going to try to. About 20 minutes, and I'm going to share with you what the Lord has for you from his word. And then the last 20 minutes, we're going to show you a video. I know this is totally different, but here's the reason. Today is Next Steps Sunday. We are relaunching Next Steps at Vision Church. If you're excited about it, you should be. If not, I'll tell you why. So in the past, if you wanted to get involved here, if you wanted to be a part of what God was doing in Uptown Charlotte through the expression of Vision Church, you had to wait for the first Sunday of every month to go through Next Steps after each service. So basically 12 times a year was all that you could get involved. But now, Next Steps 2.0 is going online, which means that Next Steps will now be available 24/7, 365. You will have no excuse for not joining in the army of the service of the Lord, all right? So, but a few years ago, if you came here and you wanted to get involved and you asked 10 different people, how do I get involved? You would literally get 10 different answers. Somebody would be like, go talk to her, go sign up over there, drop something in the offering. Everybody was confused. They're like, hey, I want to serve. I want to use my gift, but I don't know how to get started. So now we've streamlined the process. It's simple. Next Steps is the gate to getting involved at Vision Church. All right? Next Steps is the way. So really quickly, what's going to happen today? I'm going to preach to you a sermon called Join the Miracle. And then after I preach it, you're going to have an opportunity to actually do so. Look at your neighbor with a little attitude and tell them, join the miracle. Join the miracle. You say, well, now, why would we be doing all this on a Sunday? Why would you, for those of you who like your routine, you're like, why are you messing with me on a Sunday? Here's the reason. We are on mission, and we are serious about winning souls and making disciples. And we are serious about equipping the saints and activating the gift that God has placed inside of you into his service. We are serious on mission. Jesus died on the cross and paid too high of a price for us to just play church up in here. We are serious about the mission of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 14. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here, he said. And then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and blessed them. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all of the women and the children. This is incredible stuff right here. And, you know, we preach this as the feeding of the 5,000. But back in the day, they were a little chauvinistic and they only numbered the men. All right. So this was a greater miracle than just feeding 5,000 people. This was likely 10,000, 15, or even 20,000 people. Many historians believe that it could have been. This is a big deal. But now I want you to watch as this scene unfolds. I want you to imagine the disciples are with Jesus. They are tired. They are hungry, which has now led to them being hangry, which is a real word. It's you're angry because you're hungry. If you don't know, now you know. I'm serious. Mark's gospel says that the disciples, they hadn't eaten. They were starving. They were tired. They were in need of rest. So they got into the boat with Jesus, and they were like, hey, enough of the ministry. Let's go sail to the other side away from these people because they are too needy. This is really what's happening. This is my paraphrase, but you're welcome. All right? And then Jesus and the disciples are in the boat. They begin looking back towards the crowd. And Jesus, being moved with compassion for the people, turns this thing around and they go right back into the crowd that they had just left. The disciples are like, they're like, are you serious? We haven't eaten anything, Jesus. Jesus, being moved with compassion, he goes back, he starts healing people, praying for people, teaching them, ministering to them. There's a vast crowd and they're all watching Christ. Then the disciples are like, okay, we know how to shut this down. We're going to tell Jesus it's time to wrap this thing up because it's getting dark and the people are hungry and we need to send them out to the villages so they can get their own food. So the disciples are like, Jesus, we should probably dismiss the people because they're getting hungry and we can't do anything about that. And now watch this. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he goes, you feed them. You feed them. Now listen, every time I've read this, like in my own private time, I always envision like this being like a private conversation between Jesus and the disciples. Like Jesus being like, okay, you feed them. But that's not the context here at all. 20,000 people are standing there watching every move Jesus makes. And Jesus basically puts his disciples on blast, on notice, in front of 20,000 people. They're all getting restless and hangry. And Jesus is like, hey, disciples, you feed them. Talk about pressure. Talk about the weight of the world being on you. I don't know about you, but if I were a disciple back then, I'd have probably been like, looking over my shoulder like, he's talking to you. Surely Jesus is talking to you. Oh, you mean me, Jesus. But now listen, this was not a suggestion. Jesus wasn't like, well, now, if you feel like it, Peter, James, and John, if it so moves you, feed the people. If it's convenient for you, feed the people. No, it was a commandment from the very author of life himself. And he looked at his followers and he said, you feed them. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you feed them. I would have been like, Jesus, we need to talk about this in private. This is getting too crazy right here. But now listen, what sounded like an obligation, what certainly was a commandment to the disciples, was actually the invitation to the miraculous. I'm just trying to preach to somebody right now. This that sounded like a commandment, it sounded abrasive, it sounded like a call to serve, was actually the disciples' invitation to participate in the miraculous. The disciples' invitation sounded like an obligation, but it was an invitation to be a part of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I cannot imagine a greater thing than to participate in the mission of Jesus Christ, the Lord. When we serve his body, when we serve in the New Testament church, it's not an obligation. It's not, let's serve because we have to. It's serve because we get to. How could a God like that choose a person like me to be included in the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is the greatest work the world will ever know, is the ministry of the gospel, and you have been invited to participate in the miracle. Jesus is inviting you to partake in the mission of Jesus Christ. You see, there's no higher mission, and here's why. Because you could go work in one of the glittering towers in Uptown Charlotte. You could make seven figures. You could be rolling in a Ferrari and a Lambo, whatever. But here's the deal. Everything that you acquire in your life is coming to an abrupt and ultimate end, and you can't take any of it with you. But when you do the work of Jesus Christ, when you minister to somebody who's hurting and you share the gospel with them, when you lead somebody to Jesus, when you pray for somebody, when you're just a shoulder to cry on, when you teach somebody the word of God, when you welcome them into the presence of the Lord, you are a part of an eternal work that will have no end. Be a part of the work of eternity right now. Three people excited with me about it. That's all right. Hey, I'll get excited all by myself. That's fine. But we are invited to partake in the greatest work on planet Earth, and it is the advancement of the gospel. And I'm not throwing shade at you for whatever job you have. I'm saying that wherever you are, be used in the service of God Almighty. Do His work. Do His mission. Be about His work, because it's the work that impacts eternity. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor say to us, he said, if you are called into the ministry, don't stoop to become a king. I'm just going to leave that for just a minute. Because like a lot of times we in the ministry who are praying for people, leading Bible studies, preaching sermons, teaching, we think that like it's lowly, it's not important, it's not significant, we're irrelevant, nobody cares. But the truth is that you are doing the work of the kingdom. You are a part of a kingdom that is far greater. Don't ever, you who have been called into the service of the Lord, don't ever bow your knee to become something great in the finite world. Your calling is greater than you know. And by the way, he wasn't calling us kings. He was saying that we are a part of the greatest work planet Earth has ever known. The invitation to the miracle might seem intense. It might seem overwhelming and even impossible, but it is the greatest invitation of your life. The fact that it is such a privilege to serve in the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to tell him this. Start where you are. Start where you are. See, a lot of us are waiting for the ideal moment to start using our giftings, to start using our voice and our influence. We are waiting for the stars to align. We're waiting for everything, our schedule to free itself up. We're waiting for all of these things to happen in order to actually get involved with what God is doing. But I just want to set the scene back for you real quick of this miracle, because it was anything but convenient. In fact, the disciples' invitation to serve came at the most inopportune time, in the most inopportune place imaginable. Think about this. The disciples had already been ministering all day. They were exhausted and they were drained. They were trying to get in the boat and escape the crowd. They were trying to run away. They were hungry, hangry. They had not eaten. They were in bad moods, all right? And to top it all off, they were in this barren, desolate wilderness. All right, it was gross. Sand was probably getting in their mouth and all over there. It was just not an opportune moment for them to be invited to the miraculous. They had a ton of excuses of why this wasn't the right time and this isn't the right place. But don't let the miracle pass you by. It doesn't, if you're waiting for the perfect moment or the perfect opportunity to get involved, you will be waiting for the rest of your life. The miracle won't wait. It will happen without you, but God has included you in it. Look at your neighbor, tell him, you're invited to the miracle. You're invited. This is so wild. And this is going to go totally in the face of every leadership guru right now. Jesus invited the disciples to serve while they were on empty. Like, the disciples were starving. They were tired. They needed their beauty rest. All right? And Jesus is like, hey, I know you're hungry. I know you're tired. I know you're in a barren wilderness. I know this isn't convenient, but you feed them. Here's why. Jesus knew that as the disciples would activate their lives into feeding others, that Christ would provide for them. As the disciples served the loaves and the fishes to the multitude, they themselves were also fed. When you serve in the house of the Lord, in the kingdom of our Almighty God, He provides for you. Now, y'all thought I was preaching. I haven't even started preaching yet. I'm about to get wild in here. And by the way, I don't deserve your response or your applause, but the Word of God certainly does. Certainly does. So watch this. The miracle was activated through obedience. I was going to say that one more time. The miracle of the feeding of 5,000 was activated by obedience. Here's how I've always thought this story unfolded. Because, I mean, I've read this story many years. I always thought that it happened like this. A little boy brought his loaves and fish to the disciples. The disciples gave it to Jesus. Jesus blessed it, and instantly it was multiplied, and there were countless baskets, and the disciples were just given from the multitude. Incorrect. That's not what happened. In fact, the Bible's very clear on what actually happened. The disciples gave Jesus the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and Jesus lifted that limited lunch to the Father, and He blessed it. And then He gave that to the disciples to give to the people. Now put yourself in the shoes of the disciple for a minute. You got 20,000 restless, crazy folk out here in need. Jesus just told you to feed them. And you're still looking at 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They didn't know how this miracle was going to unfold. They just knew it wasn't their job to perform the miracle. It was just their job to participate in it. It's not my job to multiply it. It's just my job to obey. So they did what Jesus said, and the disciples had to be taking that bread and thinking, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. And as they obeyed, as they served, and as they gave, He multiplied it. It was their obedience that activated the miraculous. Man, this is incredible stuff, church. That when you start moving, God starts working. When the church comes alive, the Lord starts moving in a city. Some of y'all are out here like, well, God don't work miracles anymore. I haven't seen God move since the 80s. All right, well, maybe it's been that long since you actually obeyed Him. I'll just walk off right now. Maybe the reason God's not moving in your life is because you're not obeying Him in your own life. Because what I'm reading says that when I obey Him, it activates the miraculous. Just trying to preach to somebody. Some of y'all, you are waiting on God. You know God has a calling on your life. You know God has a plan for you. You know that God's purpose over you is greater than anything you have imagined or experienced in your past. You know it. But you're just waiting. You're waiting for Him to perform the miracle so that then you can, but see, it doesn't require faith then. You're waiting on God, but God's waiting on you. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God's waiting on you. I'm reminded of Moses as he was leading the Hebrews out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. Do y'all remember this story? They got to the shore of the Red Sea. They thought they were home free. And then Pharaoh changed his mind. And they heard the thundering of Pharaoh's chariots and armies cascading down the mountain towards them. There's an amazing conversation that happens right in that place. Moses is standing before the people facing the Red Sea with his staff in his hand. And this is Moses. Oh, Lord. Hey, Lord, they're coming. God, you better do something. They're coming. And God literally says to Moses, what are you waiting for? Lift up that staff that I've already put in your hand. Lift it out over the Red Sea and watch me make a way for you where there seemed to be no other way. Moses was waiting on God, but God was waiting on Moses to act in obedience to activate the miraculous. Some of you are waiting for God to show up in your life, and God is waiting for you to start doing something with what he's already given you. Y'all, this church is a miracle. You're sitting in a miracle. I came to Charlotte, North Carolina. My parents gave me $700, and I came to it. I'm thankful for the $700, but I came here with $700. I didn't have anything. I didn't know it. I knew two people, and I was related to them. They couldn't escape me. But I was like, God has called me to do this. And so I'm going to take what I've got, and I'm just going to use it. And I'm just going to put it out there. And God has done something supernatural with the limited resources that I could give him. But your obedience activates the miraculous. Now, I'm almost done preaching to you because I got a video to show you. But I got to show you something else amazing. The disciples, this is incredible. The Bible says that Jesus gave the bread and the fish to the disciples to give to the people. Jesus could have given the food directly to the people himself, but he chose to include you. He just chose to include us. See, we're unworthy, undeserving, but he includes us in the miracle anyway. It's amazing. But I got to show you something incredible. The disciples gathered the 5 loaves and the 2 fish from a little boy, and then they gave it to Jesus, and then Jesus gave it back multiplied. There's a principle here, and I really got to get you to see this. The disciples gave him something ordinary and finite, and the Lord gave it back to them multiplied. So here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is the truth. God has given each of you the ability to do certain things well. Some of you are leaders. Some of you are encouragers. Some of you are servants, teachers, preachers, worshipers, encouragers, whatever it is. He's given you the ability to do certain things well. But when you give that gift into the hands of Jesus, he will then multiply it into the lives of others. I'm going to give you an example. I might be an okay communicator. In other words, I like to talk a lot. But I give my gift into the hands of Jesus, and he multiplies it for his glory. You might be an all right teacher, but you start teaching for the sake of Christ, and he will multiply your efforts to sow the seed into the hearts of men. You might be an okay encourager, but encourage. Give your gift to the hands of Jesus and watch him multiply that work through him. Y'all seeing this? This should encourage somebody today. My finite, limited gift in the hands of Jesus can be multiplied times 10,000. One last thing, and I know I've said that 3 times, but I mean it this time. I really mean it this time because I got to show you this video. The last thing is, your deficiency is God's opportunity. I'm going to say that one more time. Your deficiency is God's opportunity. Somebody in here, you're hearing this today, and you're like, I know God has a purpose for my life. I know that I need to be a part of his kingdom. I know that I need to serve. I need to use my gift. I know I do. But my past makes me unfit. The mistakes that I've made in my past, it declares me unworthy. If anybody ever found out what I've done or how I used to live, I would not be accepted. I'm deficient. And some of you look at your gifts, your talents, and you you're insecure about it. You feel like they're deficient. You compare your gift to other people's and you say, well, how could God ever use me? God, I mean, I don't measure up. There's a great deficiency in my life. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. Your deficiency is God's opportunity to be glorified greatly through your life. Because see, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. So long as I'm strong and I'm educated and I'm great and I'm worthy, it hides in the shadow his glory. Oh, but when you see my weakness and you know my past and you know my deficiencies, every ounce of success you see in my life, the glory is attributed to the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. Your deficiency is God's opportunity. Don't stop and make another excuse for why you don't serve because of your deficiencies. I'm going to give you one last example. Can we just be thankful that college football is back? Can I get a witness? College football, somebody, men in here, help me. It's been a long summer, bro. All right. Here, I'm going to help you see it. The underdog school, if they beat the top tier guys, that's going to be a wild victory. Example, UNC Charlotte. You know, y'all know I love y'all, but y'all are bad at football. We are bad at football. We are deficient in a lot of things. But if we played Alabama and we whip up on Nick Saban, our deficiency makes room for great glory. The greater the underdog, the greater the victory. The greater your deficiency, the greater God's glory. Don't hold yourself out of the service of the Lord Almighty because it's your deficiency that makes him famous in the earth. Come on, somebody, and give him praise if you mean it. You are invited to join in the miracle of the New Testament church right here in Uptown Charlotte. Listen, Vision Church is a special and beautiful place. But even greater than that, we are a part of a greater body, the capital C Church, a greater kingdom. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God being advanced in the earth. But right here, you are sitting in a miracle. When you serve here, when you encourage, when you love, when you use your gift here, you are joining God in the work of the miraculous. In the next few moments, you're going to watch a video. It's about 20 minutes long. That's why I'm preaching short today. I want to encourage you. This is step one of next steps. If you're ready to say yes to the Lord, if you're ready to say, here is my limited offering, but in the hands of God, I know it'll be multiplied. If you're ready to say, Lord, use me, here am I. This is for you. Now, for those of you who are already involved and you've already been through like three versions of next steps because you've been here a while, sit tight. Educate yourself on what's happening so that you can involve others in this process moving forward. And maybe you're here for the first time and you're like, slow down, preacher. I'm not ready to get involved. I'm not ready to be serving in the kids' church yet. Well, this will still be a perfect opportunity for you to find out what we're all about in this unique expression of the greater church in Charlotte, North Carolina is all about. And Lord willing, you'll be able to determine if this just might be the place God is calling you to put down your roots and become a part of the miracle. Let's watch this video.
Hey there, I'm Tyson Coughlin, and I'm the pastor of Vision Church. And I want to personally say thank you so much for taking time to join us at Next Steps Online. Over the next few moments, I'm going to give you a brief orientation to our ministry. And Next Steps is really the gateway to getting involved in our church. It used to be if you came here, you would ask 10 different people, how do I get involved? And 10 different people would give you 10 different answers. They'd be like, talk to them, go sign up over there. Well, now we've made it simple. Next Steps is the way to getting involved and more connected within the family of Vision Church. Next Next Steps is a simple three-step process. Number one, you're doing it right now. The online orientation is step one. In this video, you're gonna learn a little bit about the history, a little bit about our mission and our future, where we're headed. Step two is a one-on-one with a member of our Next Steps team. You can either do it in person or online via video chat. And then the third step is actually getting plugged in, actually getting connected and getting involved. And once you complete step three, at that time we consider you officially a part of the Vision Church family. Listen, involvement is a big deal. Jesus taught us in John chapter 15 that he is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. And anyone who abides in Jesus will be fruitful and very fruitful. The New Testament church is called the body of Christ. And when you get involved here, when you form relationships, when you start to serve here in this community, you are connected to the source. You're connected to a facet of the expression of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, you will become fruitful in your life. There's one thing I've noticed over the last few years pastoring this church, and that is that the people who are the most connected, the people who are the most involved, are the people who are growing and thriving spiritually. It's the people who live in isolation that are always experiencing crisis or chaos in their life. So I want to encourage you and I want to invite you. We want you to be a part of our family, be a part of our body, get involved. Let's make a difference. Right now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the name and the logo of Vision Church. First of all, we've been called every name under the book. Verizon Church, Vizion, Vizion. Y'all, it is Vision Church. And we did not misspell our name. The Z is there on purpose. Because within the name Vision is the word Zion. And Zion is the dwelling place between God and his people. When you look throughout the Old Testament, anytime you see the word or the name Zion, it refers to the people of God or the mountain of God, his ownership. And I couldn't think of a better name for a church than the dwelling place between God and his people. So the Z's on purpose. The next thing that we saw intentionally about our name is that our name preaches the gospel through Roman numerals. I'm gonna show you what I mean. The Roman numeral 7 is hidden in plain sight, right in the name of Vision. VII, the number 7, represents the number of completion, the number of perfection and righteousness. God completed his initial creative act on the 7th day, and when he looked at it, it was complete. It was fulfilled. It was beautiful. And we wanted to express that in our name because that's what Jesus does for us. He completes us. He fulfills us. When nothing else in the world can satisfy, he can. But it wasn't until a few years later that we realized there's actually another Roman numeral in the name. And that is the number 6, VI, right there in the first two letters. And the Roman numeral 6 represents fallen humanity, broken and sinfulness. But when 6 merges with Zion, the dwelling place between God and his people, when 6 merges with the gospel of Zion, then it becomes 7, complete, fulfilled, righteous, and perfect. Our name preaches the gospel. We once were fallen and broken, sinful people. And now that we have experienced Christ, we've repented of our sins, we are now complete in him. We are righteous, restored in him, not by our own works, but by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And finally, we named our church Vision Church because Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And if that statement is true, then where there is vision, there is life. And we have no shortage of vision, of dreams, of belief that this city will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our vision is that Jesus would be lifted up and exalted and that humanity would be reconciled to God. And next, I want to tell you about our logo. And our logo really is not about us. Our logo is all about our Creator and his message. I'm going to show you. A triangle, which is what our logo is, is symbolic of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is a triune God, one God revealed in three different ways. He creates in trinities, liquid, gas, solid, time, space, matter. He is a God who reveals himself in trinities. So that triangle doesn't point to us. It doesn't point to a church. It points to our God. Also, that triangle is oriented to face the West. The West, all throughout Scripture, is the direction of God. In the Old Testament, when they would set up the tabernacle, they would set it up facing the east so that as the sun, the light of the world, would progress throughout the day, the light is always moving to the west, and that light would go over the tabernacle, moving from east to west. West is the direction of God, and we will always point people to our God, not to our church, not to a personality, not to a pastor. We will point people to our God. Also, fun fact, our church, our first campus, is on West Boulevard. Come on, somebody, that's amazing. Our logo points to the west, and so does our church. And we chose the color lime green because green represents life and life abundantly. And where there's vision, there is life. I want to tell you a little bit about the unique history of Vision Church. In 2008, I moved to Charlotte straight out of Bible college. I was 21, 22 years old, amped up and ready to go. And a friend of mine came to me and said, Tyson, why don't you start a Bible study on a college campus? Why don't you do a college ministry? And maybe God can use that to form into a church. My initial response was no. But a few weeks later, after praying about it and thinking it through, I realized they were right. So in 2009, I started a Bible study at UNC Charlotte with just a handful of students. I didn't really know them, they didn't know me, but we started this Bible study with a vision that one day this could become a ministry and one day a church. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. The Bible study started in 2009 with just a handful of kids, and in a few short years, it grew to over 300 college kids every week. It became one of the largest student organizations at UNC Charlotte, and we saw God move in dynamic ways, and honestly, it was a revival in that generation. One Sunday night, we saw over 50 kids get baptized in one service and publicly display their faith for Jesus Christ. From that incredible move of God, we planted Vision Church in 2012 in Uptown Charlotte at Metro School. About 100 of those college kids came with us. We didn't plant the way most churches start. Nobody wrote us a big check. We didn't have hardly any money. We started with $12,000 raised by college students to plant this church. Nobody was on staff. We didn't have a parent church that did our organization for us. We literally started from the bottom. And God has done great and mighty things, and to Him be the glory. Because in a lot of ways, we didn't know what we were doing. We just knew we had a calling to preach the gospel and to lift up Jesus, that Charlotte may find eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. And through C4 to the launch of Vision Church, there have been incredible things that God has done throughout the years. But there is no question that right now is the greatest and most exciting time to join this move of God. There's never been a better time, never been a greater moment than right here and right now. And yes, God has been with us throughout our past, but there is no question that the best is yet to come. Our mission at Vision Church didn't come from a boardroom or a collective of great minds. Our mission statement came straight from the mouth of Jesus Himself. At the close of the Gospel of Matthew, He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all of My commands." Simply put, our mission is to go and make disciples, to evangelize, to be storytellers of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and to make disciples of those that are found, to be architects of the soul. Jesus would always when he evangelized the world, he would preach fire to the church and tell stories to the world. He evangelized through telling the story, and so will we. We will reach our coworkers, our classmates, our family, our friends, by telling the story, our testimony, of how the gospel has impacted us. And from that place, we will become architects of the souls, not just leading people to Jesus and saying good luck, but we want to be a people who make disciples, who make disciples. We want to be architects of the soul, crafting, defining, seeing vision and potential in people's lives that they may not see in themselves, and teach them to obey His commandments and to follow Jesus with their lives. Our vision is that Charlotte, North Carolina may find eternal life through Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Our vision is a global vision, and we believe that the calling that has been placed on our ministry is one to touch the nations of the world. I truly believe that the only people who will ever touch the world or change it are the people who are crazy enough to believe that God could use them to do it. And we're those people. We're just that crazy, just that wild to believe that He could use us. We believe He could use you. One other facet of our long-term vision is that we would incorporate retail and service industries in the advancement of the gospel. For too long, the church has stayed within the four walls of the local church, but the ministry should be happening in the marketplace. Imagine a construction company that existed to glorify God with its contracts and its employees. It treated them the way Jesus would treat them. Imagine not only doing residential remodeling and construction, but also turning around and leveraging their skills to rebuild communities, to encourage impoverished residents. Imagine restaurants that exist to feed the hungry, both in their city and around the world. Imagine what the ministry could look like in the service and retail industries. And one day we will be a player in seeing that unfold in the city of Charlotte and around the world. I want to take a moment to share with you some of the DNA that makes Vision Church unique. Number one, we believe in making bold moves. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We're risk takers, pioneers. We're not led or governed by fear, but by faith. We believe that excellence is the standard. We do it well or we don't do it at all. Excellence not only brings glory to God, but it is attractive to the world. When Solomon built his temple, he created it with such excellence that it attracted kings and queens from around the world to learn and hear about his God. And may we be excellent in all that we do, giving God our best so that he will be lifted up and men will be drawn to him. We believe that our faith is contagious. Christianity is a faith built on multiplication. We were made to share the good news of what the Lord has done in our life. We believe in reaching the lost by raising up the found. We believe in making disciples who make disciples. This is the basics of the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. We believe in being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. At Vision Church, we have structure and organization, but we always say that our structure submits to the leading of the Spirit of God. We believe that connection to community is key. Life was not meant to be lived alone, but together in community. We believe in throwing parties that everyone is invited to. We're a church that strives to make everybody feel like somebody, because they are. Jesus was inclusive when he said, "Come to me just as you are. You don't have to change and be perfect to be accepted. You come to me as you are, and I will do the rest." And finally, we believe that our gratitude compels our generosity. We believe that we're to be generous with our time, our treasure, and our talent. We're not generous because we have to be or out of obligation, but the act of giving, the act of being generous, makes us more like God. And if He never does another thing for us, He's already done more than enough for us to be thankful for the rest of our life. There are several departments that you can choose from when getting involved in Vision Church. One of them is our Impact Department. In the Impact Department, One of the teams is our parking team. Y'all, people do not know how to park. They need your help out there, okay? So our parking team makes that first initial impression. The next team is our welcome team. They stand at all the entrances and the doors, and they greet people, help them feel wanted and loved in the house of God. The third team under Impact is guest services. They're entirely devoted to making the experience of a first-time visitor next level. The fourth team within Impact is our usher team. They greet guests as they enter into the sanctuary and help them to find a seat, amongst many other special elements that happen within our services, like communion and the offering. And then finally, our last team under Impact is hospitality. If you ever enjoy drinking a coffee early on a Sunday morning, that's made possible via the hospitality team. They also serve in our volunteer headquarters. So if you're interested in any of those areas, the Impact Department will be for you. Another area you could serve is within our logistics department. They oversee our setup and our teardown. Setup happens on Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and teardown takes place directly after the 11:15 service. If you're somebody who enjoys working with their hands, you're somebody who enjoys setting something up, come and be a part of our logistics department. We have a saying that we transform this space, Metro School, so that lives will be transformed in it. Another department that you can serve in is with Vision Kids. Vision Kids are amazing. They are my favorite little ones within the church. They're epic. And our Vision Kids ministry serves infants all the way up through fifth grade. They're not just babysitting, they are teaching. They're educating, they're praying over the babies in the nursery. This is a ministry. All of our Vision Kids volunteers are background checked. And if you decide to serve in our Vision Kids team, don't worry, you're not gonna miss the service because we encourage our volunteers to serve in one service and then attend the other. So every weekend, you'll have an opportunity to be in the worship service with the rest of us. Another department you could serve in is our creative department. They oversee our music, our production, and our social media, which we call our social ministry. If you are creative, if you're a musician, an artist, a vocalist, this is the department for you. Our team does a great job every Sunday, but we can become stronger and greater with your help. Also, if you're a videographer, a photographer, or you enjoy lighting, sound, audio production, this would be the area for you. We've got highly trained, highly gifted people here that would love to serve beside of you. Another opportunity for you to serve is with our Vision Youth Department. This is an incredible opportunity to minister to middle school and high school students. This team has a ton of fun. If you enjoy being a mentor, pouring into the next generation, speaking life and accountability into them, this would be an opportunity for you. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to watch this video and to go through next steps, step one today. You're almost finished, but immediately after this video, you'll be prompted to complete a next step survey, which is where we get to hear about you and discover your gifts, your passion, your experience, so that we can best serve you and connect you into your highest and best fit within our ministry. I look forward to getting to know you and serving the Lord Jesus beside you. Thank you so much for your willingness to be a part of this church and this family. Let's go. Let's make disciples. Let's change Charlotte, North Carolina for the glory of God.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you'd like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.